Hey, it's Chaz and AJ.
Hello.
Thank you for listening to our podcast.
Thank you.
We hope you enjoy it. And please subscribe, comment, share, do all those things that make us look good.
And be nice.
Thank you. 29 wounded, 10 shot. Luckily, his gun jammed. It could have been a lot worse.
Yeah.
Retired NYPD Sergeant Scott Welsh. Good morning.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Morning.
Good. What's your take?
I hate to say it, but something like this is something that really can't be prevented.
Yeah.
I'm actually a little surprised we haven't had more of these, because the subway is a soft target. Any individual with the mind to can pull off something like this. I mean, I hate to, you know, be the bearer of bad news and, you know, say a very, very horrible truth, but that's the way it is.
Fortunately, none of those injured have life-threatening injuries.
Yeah.
But I thought the same thing.
That's a miracle in itself.
Yeah, it is.
I'm watching the coverage last night, and I'm thinking, after 2 years of, like, really bad news, a 100-year pandemic, economy, right, wackiness, war, and then the 4 years before that, the media had us thinking the world was on fire every day.
Yeah.
It was sick. It's been 6 years. 300 million people in the country. You would think that there would be more of this stuff going on.
Yeah.
So I don't want to demean it, or, you know, but it just seems like, okay, when you have 300 million people living together, stuff like this will happen. It's horrible, but not preventable, right? When it's one person.
Yeah.
It's really not. I mean, the Counterterrorism Bureau in the NYPD, I mean, they do a fantastic job. They do the best they can. But you're talking a massive system with hundreds of entrances. There's no way to regulate people going in it. I mean, unless you have, you know, old Soviet Union-style lockdowns, there's nothing to prevent some lone nut with an agenda and a handgun from going on there and doing mayhem like this.
I'm looking forward to hearing more about this person, but this
curious, yeah.
This just seems like someone with some mental health issues who somehow got a gun.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what it's looking like now, yeah. And obviously, guns are common denominator. Excuse me, guys, I have a little bit of a cold.
Ah, but, sorry to hear that.
we've yet to see where the gun came from, how he got the gun.
We hear a lot of stories, and, you know, they just kind of go by quickly.
Yeah.
That the cops raided an apartment and there were guns and someone was planning something. We hear a lot of those. You got them before they did something like this. And
yeah.
Then we just kind of, we don't see the alternate universe, this one, where if they weren't caught.
Under the radar until now.
That's the point that I was making before about the Counterterrorism Bureau. We have our Intel Bureau, our Counterterrorism Bureau, our Joint Terrorism Task Force with the FBI. And they're very big into investigations and intelligence, and they interrupt plots all the time. A lot of them aren't, you know, publicized, but they make seizures and interrupt plots on a regular basis. But those are organized plots. Organized plots, you know, you can get a confidential informant. You can, you know, pick up stuff from the internet, and that's how they follow up leads.
Right.
If you just have a lone nut sitting alone in an apartment with the voices in his head, I mean, there's no way to track that. There's no way to intercede in that.
What's interesting is that people have been labeled for hate speech on various social media platforms,
yeah,
for just having a different opinion,
uh-huh,
on things. Yet this guy was posting that he wanted to see people dead, and they didn't put that as hate speech.
Seriously, yeah.
All right, here's a clip from a YouTube video that he posted when, Phil?
This was 2 days before, April 11th. Yeah, like 2 days ago. Even.
Okay.
Yeah, so very recent.
Here it is.
And so this is why it's important to think about what you're going to do before you do it. And let's not forget, I've been through a lot of where I could say I wanted to kill people. I wanted to watch people die right in front of my face immediately. But I thought about the fact that, hey, man, I don't want to go to no prison. That.
Wow.
You know, when I was younger, I was like, hey, man, I'm not built for no prison. I'm just not. So I had to absorb.
All right, so maybe you don't pick up a guy for something like this, but maybe they can pull the video down. I don't know.
Yeah, at least do that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've seen videos pulled down for a lot less inflammatory stuff than that.
Yeah.
Right.
I don't think we're going to hear anybody coming forward and saying, oh, he just seemed like such a nice guy.
Just pleasant person, you know.
Seemed normal.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think everyone's going to come forward and say, yeah, he was off. I was scared of him.
Yeah, very quiet person to himself.
Right, but I mean, the unfortunate reality is New York City is full of angry loners. I mean, there are thousands of them.
That's true. As a retired New York PD sergeant, how does the investigation begin? You get the call, you arrive. What happens?
I mean, the first thing you're obviously going to do is tend to the injury. So you're going to secure the scene. You're going to everybody who is not injured. You're going to get out of harm's way. And you're going to tend to the injured. Your first responsibility is looking for secondary devices. That's the first thing that they teach you in counterterrorism training, is the possibility of secondary devices. Because that's a trick that Al-Qaeda espouses constantly, is to have an initial event and then set up secondary devices specifically intended to injure or kill first responders.
That's interesting. When you, I didn't even think of this, when you guys were running into that, and girls running into that subway, you don't know what you're running.
Like, it could be a part two.
This could be.
Yeah.
So this is the first of many occurrences.
Bombs or more people there.
It's frightening.
Yeah.
Right, and that's your first thought. The first thing you do when you go there is to screen, you know, as quickly as you can and expediently as you can, the area for possible secondary devices. Then it's just taking care of the wounded, and then once the wounded are removed, everything just goes on total lockdown. And then you just bring in your forensic people, your intel people, your counterterrorism people, and it runs from there.
Witness accounts were different. There was green vest, orange vest. How do you sort through, like, what you're really looking for?
I mean, that's common. That is very common, especially amongst witnesses of traumatic events. Eyewitness testimony is not all that reliable. You have to kind of sort through all of them and, you know, glean the most common elements. Like, if the majority of people say he's wearing a black baseball hat, well, then you kind of got to assume he's got the black baseball hat. And you kind of try to filter out the stuff that varies from people to people.
They found that U-Haul truck pretty fast, and I'm really amazed at how fast they went from, we're not sure what happened.
Yeah.
Something happened in the subway, to having this guy's face.
Yeah, person of interest, yeah.
All over the world.
Luckily, he dropped that key.
That was pretty fast.
Yeah. It was very fast.
Yeah. I mean, stuff unfolds pretty quickly. I mean, we're not releasing every bit of information as we get it. We don't want to compromise the investigation. We don't want to, you know, put out information that might turn out not to be accurate. So, I mean, even though it'll appear at the beginning that we don't have anything, oftentimes we do, and we're following up on it, but we just don't want to release it until we realize that it's actually substantive.
This is the struggle that we see in television and movies, right, where the politicians are pressuring you for information that they can release.
Yeah.
Give me something.
Right, to tell everybody.
And you're like, no, we can't.
You can't.
It'll compromise the investigation. I'm guessing the first thing you do, or, you know, after you secure this area and the wounded are taken care of, and now it becomes a crime scene, you start going through the evidence and photographing and taking forensics. Somebody's checking the airports.
Yeah, right. See if someone's leaving.
Yes, that's someone could get away really, real far, real fast.
Oh yeah, there'll be notifications made to the Port Authority police, to the airports. There'll be cops dispatched to bus terminals. I mean, the Bridge and Tunnel Authority. There'll be notifications will immediately go out, especially if you have vehicle information. Information will immediately go out to the Bridge and Tunnel Authority. Highway units will be dispatched to all the crossings. That's one of the things in our mobilization plan. Highway units will be dispatched to all the bridges and tunnels to watch for possible vehicles. That's all part of the response plan.
What do you think the police know already? They've probably already been to everyone this guy knows and related
jobs,
to.
Maybe.
Right? They've been to the U-Haul place in Pennsylvania.
Right.
They probably know where he got the gun from or no?
That could take a while. They'd have to do a trace on the gun. We don't know. It could be an altered firearm. They could have the serial number removed. It's hard to say.
Yeah.
I'm sure they've been to his home. I'm sure they're in Pennsylvania interviewing people. I mean, they've done it already, but I mean, there'll be no stone unturned in this. I'm sure there are a lot of detectives and counterterrorism cops who still haven't slept since yesterday.
Are smoke bombs easy to get?
I mean, you could get anything online. I mean, you could go online and buy smoke bombs. You know, you'd get them delivered by tomorrow.
It's frightening to me that he didn't want to just shoot people. He wanted to disorientate the entire train to have more time with them in the train.
Yeah,
just
purposely create chaos.
Man, frightening.
Yeah, I mean, clearly, I mean, based on that and based on his the videos, he's been thinking about doing this for quite a while.
Yeah, it wasn't a whim.
What do you think why the U-Haul truck? Was there anything in there that he needed to carry there?
Not that I know. I'm not really sure why there would be a U-Haul truck.
Right.
Truck. To be honest, I don't know. It seems kind of strange to me.
Me too.
I mean, he came down from Pennsylvania. I was thinking about that. And the only thing I could possibly think of is a lot of times if you're going to rent maybe he didn't have his own vehicle. If you're going to rent the car, a lot of the car rental agencies make you reduce insurance, whereas most U-Haul places don't. Maybe it was just easier for him to get a U-Haul truck than go into, like, Hertz or Avis.
Why does he need that, though?
I mean, he had to get here from Pennsylvania.
Okay, so he lived in Pennsylvania. He needed to get here, and instead of renting a car. Okay, I got you. That makes sense. That's probably it.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Yes. I don't think there was anything really in the U-Haul. I mean, they didn't find any, you know, large explosive devices or anything in the U-Haul that would really necessitate a van.
I mean, my thought was that, you know, it also blends in well, you know, a U-Haul van as opposed to something else. It blends in because folks are moving all the time. These U-Hauls for, like, you know, deliveries and things like that.
Mm.
Yeah, but if you just had, like, you know, a nondescript, you know, the Chevy Cavalier, it really wouldn't blend in either. It would blend in as well.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, I think we figured that one out. Good.
Yeah.
All right. So we get a gold star for that.
Yay.
One. How long do you think it'll take? There's really no telling, right?
I mean, it's hard to say. I don't know too much about this guy, but he doesn't seem like someone who has a lot of resources. Like he's going to, you know, hop on a plane for the French Riviera or something like that. I mean, he's probably gone to ground somewhere. My guess would be they'll find them in some, like, you know, cheesy motel in Maryland or something before this is all over.
Right. Well, if he left his van behind, you know, it was sad that I've read that the cameras in that particular subway station were down.
I was amazed by that. They said that the three stations that were involved, where he started, where it finished, were like the only three cameras in the system that were down yesterday, which is just a bad luck beyond comprehension.
And they say he jumped back into the subway and took off.
Mm.
Yeah.
That's wild.
So, I mean, the fact that those three cameras were out is just really, I mean, that's incredibly bad luck.
Is it bad luck? There's no way he could have masterminded something where the people rigged him.
I mean, this guy is not Lex Luthor. I mean, I don't see how he could possibly hack into the MTA camera system and disable certain cameras.
Right. Yeah. Well, we appreciate you coming on. Thank you very much. Anything else that I didn't ask you or your take on this?
Not that springs to mind. No, like I said, we're still in the early stages. I'm sure we're going to find out a lot more, but nothing I can really think of right now.
I think this is probably the time as a retired NYPD sergeant, you're like, oh, I wish I was back there right now.
I really do. This is you know, you want to get into the mix. You want to, you know, help out. You want to get involved. And, you know, it's a long, hard job that these guys are doing. But I know, you know, a lot of guys live for this.
Yeah, you don't go, you're not there for the daily grind and the paperwork and the political BS.
No.
But this stuff, getting a bad guy who's done a lot of hurt to people who are just trying to get through their day, this is why you people do what you do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Absolutely, 100%.
You know, I don't want to get too much into it, but I think the genie's out of the bottle in terms of, like, putting bad guys away and keeping them away. Yeah, I'll be interested to hear what this guy's background is. There's clearly police, you know, he's been in brushes with the law.
This wasn't his first time.
One of his pictures, he's in an orange jumpsuit.
Right, and that wasn't a fashion thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know his background. I mean, I don't see what in anybody's background would predict something like this. I mean, you can predict a robbery is going to rob again, a rapist is going to rape again, but how can you predict somebody's just going to lose their mind and start shooting in a subway car?
Right. Right. There's no telling.
No.
No, because there's a lot of mental health issues out there, and you can't tell which one is going to be that next one.
Seriously, yep. Yeah. So.
Hey, thank you for everything that you've done, and appreciate you coming on.
I feel better.
Yes. Thank you, guys. I appreciate it.
Anthony Avalon, president of Reitman Personnel in studio. Top five things employers need to know.
No.
Yep.
Good morning.
Morning, guys. How are you?
Good.
Thanks for having me back. Appreciate
it. Oh, absolutely.
Yep.
What do you think?
All right. So I think we've talked last time about how crazy the job market is with employers trying to find people. Right. You have record unemployment numbers, again, pre-pandemic level. Companies have all-time openings. And what?
It doesn't make sense.
Nothing makes sense.
No.
Nothing makes sense.
Right. That's called life.
Okay, segment over.
That was great. Headline, nothing makes sense.
Thank you. Have a good day.
Pre-pandemic unemployment numbers and record openings.
Hmm. Now, why wouldn't the people who are unemployed just go and get a job?
Hey, I want this job.
So they're not collecting unemployment, but they're doing something else. But to the point of what we're talking about today, you know, companies can do some things to be a little bit more competitive in finding people.
Right.
You know, you've got to do some certain things.
So, you know, I feel bad for managers or people who own companies because you got to do three things. You have to find good people, keep your people, and then do whatever it is your business is.
Yep. So let me tell you the number one thing companies can do to attract good people is take care of the people that they have.
Mm.
Okay?
I like that. Take care of people you have.
Yep.
There we go. I knew it.
Your employees, though, seriously, your employees.
It's all about AJ.
First, get rid of that guy. Fire his ass. Yeah.
Your employees are your number one advocate for your company, whether they're not come to work there or to come to work there. So take care of your employees, number one. The number two reason, and I think it's probably one of the strongest reasons, is that managers, owners, principals, when they look to hire people, right, they want to hire people under the pretense of what can you do for our organization, okay?
Yeah.
Now, here's what I tell people. Look at it from this standpoint. Look at how can I help them make my company better, okay? All you have to do is just change your attitude and your mindset about how you hire people, and it'll make the biggest difference. Because if you look at our list, people want to feel part of something, right? And so when they don't feel like they're part of an organization and they're there just to do for the owners, the principals, the managers, the leaders, you know, it kind of creates some resentment. And if the managers just change their attitude about how they hire people and they say, listen, how can I make your job better? What can I do as your manager to make it so that you can do your work better and help the company better? That little difference right there makes all the difference.
Let me write this down.
This is very profound, just saying.
It's very one of profound. Those. I love when you could do one thing and make everything better.
Yeah.
So I think this is one of those things.
You should do that. Yeah. I mean, and you have to understand, like, when I talk to owners and managers of companies, right, all they do is complain about their employees. That's what everybody does, right?
I knew it.
They don't do this. They don't do that. This happens. I knew it. That happens, right?
It's hard to find good health. So, everyone's lazy.
He's an idiot.
People want to talk about things. They don't want to do things.
Right. Can't even talk.
At the core, we're egotistical people.
Right.
Okay? So we want for ourselves, and we want to hire people that are going to make my life better. So you have to retrain your brain to say, hey, how can I make your job better? How do I make you do a better job? And when you do a better job, my life is better because I've got better people working for the company. We're doing a better job as a company. And more importantly, people feel better. It's very philosophical, right? It's kind of hard to do,
right?
But it's a very, very powerful tool to have.
So would that be like if the boss just catches you doing stuff good?
I think that's patronizing. I really do.
Really?
I do.
I like you. You did a good job.
There's a couple.
Yeah, I like that.
There's a couple companies that have these, like you guys have seen them online, right? They have these things where they all recognize each other. You know, hey, Chaz did a great job with this, you know, and they put it online and it's like
Starburst. I haven't heard that.
No?
No.
So they have these.
Just a thing of your people.
It happens. It happens down the hall.
This thing you speak of.
I'm like, Jesus, is there another part of this broadcast facility?
Yeah. I think I know your point, and I think it's certainly powerful, but I think it also can be looked at as very patronizing. It's got to be genuine, right? It's got to find the opportunities to do it. Do it when in privacy. You know, I saw many years ago, I saw Jack Welch speak, president of GE, right?
Yeah,
he talked about writing
executive.
Handwritten notes and giving them to his employees.
Little post-its.
And the employees held on to them. Held on to them.
I still have a note I was given 15, 16 years ago.
Yeah.
We did something. I was making good on a bet, and it made the newspaper, and I got the article and a note.
Yeah.
I still have it.
Yeah.
I don't know if the boss saying,
it's a pain.
Don't ever do it again.
I have those letters.
You go.
I have them framed.
You have a whole hallway of those.
No, but you know what's tough for people who own companies is when you get into whatever business it is, you get into it because you love it.
Yep.
And then it becomes, well, there's this business aspect of it, going out quoting jobs, going out following up, going down tracking down money. Now I got to get employees. Now I got to get them on the same page. Every single employee is a different...
It's like herding cats.
Thing. One person, you could just tell them once, and you could leave them alone. And then there's another person. They're emotionally... You got to get them off the floor every day.
Right.
Yeah. Then there's... Like, if I'm a manager, there are going to be days... I just drive right by the building.
Yep.
Hello.
I'm just going to go right to the bar.
Right.
Goodbye.
I'll sing and play
it's
golf.
It's tough.
Actually getting juiced. Yeah.
So what happens is... These people who get into restaurant businesses, they do it because they love making food.
Yeah.
They just want to make food.
I love eating it.
All of a sudden, because this whole other, like, there's 5% of making food. The rest is nonsense and red tape from the government.
That's why food truck better. Yet.
Yeah.
Yep. Anyway, just you.
Well, I'm raining on the parade here.
No. It's a good, well, your point is this, right? So that people get into business because they do that skill set very well. But they're not skilled at being managers. And so when people are not good managers, you see the problems, the breakdowns with their staff. All of a sudden, their business gets to a certain level, and they cannot get past that threshold. They can't. They're just stuck because they can't hire more people. They don't have enough processes to put in place, right? And they eventually get to a point where they either dissolve their company or a lot of companies sell it. If there's enough value in the company, they wind up selling the company, and that's what happens. And Your point is very well taken. You know, they've done something.
So find good employees by asking them, or how can I make your...
No, you don't ask them.
No.
You actually work in that manner, okay? You just work in a manner of how do I make this show the best show? So if I'm managing this group here, what do you guys need from me as the station manager, whatever, to make this the best show possible? And that's what my work is, not what can you guys do for me? What can I do for you?
Right.
So
many ideas.
I think we have a meeting later on.
We should... a whole bunch of money.
Is there a staff meeting right after this?
This isn't about us.
No,
we're all very happy.
Yeah. Right.
If you think about it,
we're
living the dream.
We are living the dream, right?
Because I work jobs where my alarm clock would go off and my stomach would turn.
Yeah.
And I would miss days. I would show up late. And I thought, am I going to be a loser the rest of my life?
Once
I started doing something I love to do, I was like, I can wake up. I can show up on time.
I can
work extra hours.
Right. Yeah.
So he's got the Rain Man. He's got Forrest Gump, okay?
Yep.
I got my Rain Man. I got my Forrest Gump.
I'm going to get a punch in the head in a second.
What's next?
Another Best Picture winner, Dances with Wolves.
Wow.
Never saw it. I just had no desire to see it.
I loved it.
I liked it the first time. I could not watch it this time. And the other thing about that one, it's another unfortunate upset. It beat Goodfellas for Best Picture. And Kevin Costner, who had never directed a film before, beat Martin Scorsese for Goodfellas. A real sort of disgrace, actually.
Wow. Huge disgrace. I like that movie.
Never saw it. Had no desire.
I felt like it deserved to be popular.
Yeah. Mm.
You know?
Well, it didn't hold up for me. You know, the one thing in that movie that is still good is the score by John Barry is very powerful, and I think that helped the movie a great deal. The music is beautiful.
The other thing I liked about it is it gave me a chance to categorize my friends who I hang out with, like spits when he talks, you know, poops when he giggles, you know, stuff like that.
What? Who did you hang out with that poop when they giggle?
A bunch of rejects is why they're no longer in my life. Right, yeah. Right.
I was going to say, I feel like that's a one-time
bunch
deal.
A bunch of old people.
Yeah. Not a buddy anymore.
Right, right.
It's the end of the movie when they're just looking over the beautiful scenery. It's like, this is the end. They're coming, you know?
Yeah.
And we're just going to, you know, rip the land apart. And I was like, that was very impactful to me. All right, what's next?
Next is the Ten Commandments, which I watched a little bit. You know, they show
Thank
it every
you.
Year on ABC.
This is the time.
That is so campy and silly, you know, and to see sort of a biblical story that now is camp, you know, is really odd. You know, it's unwatchable,
yeah.
I think.
And all these people who live in, like, the desert all have beautifully blown back hair and stuff like that.
But this is how they made movies back then.
But it's so stupid. Like, not one person has a Middle Eastern accent or, like, let my people go in perfect English and all this stuff. Yeah. No. There wasn't one flubble, nothing. Yeah.
And everybody laughs at the end when Edward G. Robinson turns up as he's bringing the tablets down from the mountain. Yep. It is so ludicrous. So, you know, I mean,
that was bad casting.
Yep.
Yeah. It was terrible.
He was too known as a gangster.
Where's your Moses now?
Even The Simpsons did that.
Where's your Moses now?
Yep. I always thought if that story is, like, the Bible is an interpretation of various writings.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah.
To think that Moses went up on this hill and that God burnt into these tablets these 10 laws. And by the way,
like
the
a laser printer.
The commandments are pretty good.
Right.
They're pretty good. They're good rules.
Yep.
Live by those rules, you're a good person.
Absolutely.
Very simple.
Right.
We got to get it down to a top 10 list, people.
Right.
Everybody likes their top 10 list. Right. God was way ahead of this.
And those two tablets could not have been easy to carry down.
Like, these people are too whacked out. They need, like, just here's 10.
Right.
Just live by these.
Right.
My belief is, if anything like that happened, Moses, because he took a long time up there. Everyone was like, hey, when's he coming down?
Well, you know.
You think we should go check on him?
Well, those early laser printing, so it wasn't, you know, quite fast.
But I think that, you know, maybe Moses took some drugs.
Had to put that bush fire out.
And it was never really a burning bush.
It wasn't easy.
Yeah.
Like 4 beers for that one.
Hallucinations. Like, yeah.
Plus, you would think, as the Red Sea parted, occasionally you'd see a fish.
Or there'd be mud. Wouldn't you get stuck in the mud? How are you walking through this, what was once
Absolutely.
A sea?
Like a bluefish.
I'm not questioning the Bible. I'm just saying some of this stuff.
Right.
It's like, wouldn't a donkey get stuck in the mud?
You would, the cart, exactly.
Yeah,
I'm with you.
No, but I look, I'm not questioning any of this. I'm just saying it's...
Of course.
I have questions. But you don't have to have questions.
I'm in line with this one.
Yeah.
I was on the other day and watched them going, there's no way in hell, like, the women were, like, that beautiful. You know, I'm like Cleopatra with the, you know, the makeup all gorgeous.
Are they supposed to look like hags?
Then, no, but I mean, like the makeup all beautiful. It's like, no, you didn't, like, they didn't make that stuff yet.
Okay, but that was movie making then.
It was, but it doesn't hold up. And when, like, they put the baby in the little basket, it is so, like, Hollywood and so back lot, you know, with a tank that they have. It doesn't hold. It shouldn't be shown on network television at this point in time is what I'm trying to say.
Every year it is. Every year.
But, Joe, I think it's an important movie of the time. I think when you get away from it, almost any movie you can look back and say,
yeah, no, but that was over the top. I'm with Joe on this one.
The reason why The Godfather comes up on every list is because it's timeless.
And that calf they made out of gold, I mean, it was perfect. You know, like, there's no, like,
you can watch it over it gets better each time you watch it, whereas a lot of these movies, you see how weak they are. And like Ten Commandments, for instance, when I was a tiny kid, I remember the parting of the sea. It just blew my mind. Now you can see just how fake it is, and it's just ludicrous.
Yeah.
I don't know if that means it doesn't deserve its popularity. Yeah. Like, it was groundbreaking at the time.
Was that when shopping carts in the mud?
Nope. It may be so, but I mean continuing popularity now with moviegoers. Okay. I just don't.
All right, I got you. You know. All right,
okay.
I tell him. I say, listen, okay,
people.
You need good people.
And number five on your list of top five movies that don't deserve their popularity.
This might be controversial too. Brokeback Mountain.
Never saw it.
It's dull, you know, and the whole thing, like why the gay community embraced it when it is such a downer, you know, it basically shows these two guys who cannot express themselves in that time out west, you know, and when I tried to watch it again, I mean, this sounds sort of bad, but the first thing I thought was, well, just move to California.
Yeah, what are you guys doing there?
Right.
Yeah, just leave.
Get out of get out of this tiny little town where everybody's repressing you, you know, and it is such a downer. I don't get why the gay community embraced it.
Milk was much better. That movie was a good movie.
Oh, much better movie. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, I never saw Brokeback Mountain. I just knew, like, this movie wasn't made with, like, me as the target demo for the movie.
Right.
And I have very limited time to sit on the couch, so I pick my movies wisely.
Exactly, yes.
This list that came out that got us to do your list has 10 movies on it, and there's some of these movies I completely agree with, and I would like to put forward La La Land. The movie got 14 Academy Award nominations. 14.
Yep.
It's a movie. Of course Hollywood's going to love it. It's a movie about us.
We named it after you.
Oh,
it's all about Hollywood.
It is gross. Wow. They should be more embarrassed that that got 14 nominations than they should be that they stood and clapped for Will Smith.
How about
equal?
It is gross. Gross, the self-indulgence. This is, if you ever want to say, is Hollywood self-indulgent? Put forward this movie and say, this piece of crap got 14 nominations. Okay. Okay? Okay. All right. I feel better. Okay. And I know I upset Joe. Joe normally doesn't get upset. I can hear. I got under your skin a little bit.
He wrote Mother Trucker.
No, that movie divided people. There were people who hated it. There were people like me and Ashley who loved it.
I liked it too.
Let's take a couple.
I was forced to watch it, but I liked it. Boss Keith made me watch it.
Let's take a couple calls, then we'll go around the room. Andre and Derby?
Thank you. So I have a pick, but I also agree with him about Forrest Gump, more so because I think that the Jenny character is just trash.
Terrible character.
Yeah, she's just garbage woman.
No, but that's...
That's the point.
Yes.
True, she used him.
That's what's endearing.
Yeah. Rise of Rich.
Is that no matter what she did, he was there for her.
Right. Mm-hmm. He loved her.
Jenny. You could argue that she did was take advantage of him when she needed him.
Right. No, but every woman, when they watch...
someone who wasn't, you know...
Lower intelligence.
Competent.
Wait, every woman what?
Yeah.
Every woman watches that movie and says, oh, that's the kind of love I want. The undying love.
Yeah, they go, nah!
Unconditional love. But if when they find a guy like that, they walk over them, make them go to Disney when they...
you became their personal
make
doormat.
Make them learn stupid dances for the wedding.
What do you mean,
Jess? Nothing.
This is why they live in a shed.
Right. You're going to be sneezy today.
He was happy, not sneezy.
I kid.
But recently, I saw Gremlins. and that didn't help. That didn't hold up at all. I was like, yeah.
The technology.
I dug it when I was young, but I'm like, nah. I'm like, yeah. I can still buy Yoda, but I can't buy the Gremlins.
Hoyt Axton. Yeah.
That movie did hit a perfect pocket of time where people were like, this is pretty good.
But it had TV Cates in it.
Like 2 years later, everyone would have been like, what the hell is this? Get out of here.
TV Cates was the only standout in that.
Oh, the best.
The microwave seems pretty cool.
Phoebe Cates.
Oh. Who was the guy who had the voice? I think he was a country singer. He played the dad.
Oh, Hoyt Axton.
Yeah, Hoyt Axton.
Yeah.
The microwave scene is the most, it's a cinematic classic.
Right. And didn't that one end up with like a mixer or something like that? It was like,
yes.
All
right, thank you, Andre.
Thank you.
Eric and Ronkonkoma.
Yeah, I think Scott Pilgrim Saves the Universe is, it just doesn't do anything for me.
I don't think it got popular, though, right?
Oh, it's intensely popular.
Really?
Yes.
It's a big cult film.
Oh,
big
cult film.
Scott Pilgrim versus the World.
Oh, yeah. See, I don't drink Kool-Aid.
Ah.
Yeah.
Oh, wrong cult, sorry.
Oh, wow. All right, Eric. Thank you.
Yes, we're dominating.
I haven't seen it. What's it about?
It's based on, like, a comic book character, essentially, where he wants to date this girl. And before they can, like, have an official relationship, he has to beat up or conquer all of her exes. So it's an interesting premise, but it is done in a very comic booky way where, like, all of the fights are very over the top. And, like, it just happens, like, in the middle of, like, a regular setting. So, like, they'll be at a bar ordering, like, a gin and tonic, and then all of a sudden there's this really intense, like, kung fu, people are exploding fight. And it's hysterical.
That's why I don't drink gin anymore.
I think you would enjoy it. The other reason that people still love it today is the cast. So there's so many people that were not mega stars yet that are in this movie.
Oh, up and comers.
They're like, how did they get all of these people in one place at one time?
Oh, wow.
They came cheap.
Oh, what's it called?
Scott Pilgrim versus the World.
Now Eric from Ronkonkoma is saying, damn it.
That backfired.
Yeah, way to go, Phil.
Ashley?
Bridesmaids.
I agree.
It was very popular.
One funny scene. That's it.
The best part of it.
The poop scene?
Yep.
No, that's like one of the worst scenes. But the best part of the movie was the first 2 minutes. It was funny because for women, it's relatable. It's a one night stand. You're sleeping with this guy. It's not a relationship. You don't want them to see you like the way you really look. So you sneak out of bed, redo your makeup, and like gently lie back on the
bed. So it was Tuesday.
And then after the first 2 minutes, it was just crap.
Crap.
See,
I do. I agree with you on all this. This is a rare occasion, but
it's true.
This movie started. Jennifer asked me to watch the movie, and it started out really strong, and it got slow, and then the poop scene. I was like, I'm back, and then it just died.
Crap. Yeah. It's crap on top of crap.
Yeah. I mean, just the title alone.
Literally.
I want to see it.
Joe, what did you think of that movie?
I thought it was way overrated. The summer that came out, you know, it seemed like women really wanted a comedy about women, and they didn't care that it wasn't very good, frankly.
Right.
I mean.
Good pick.
Thank you. At the bridal shower, I'm not giving away puppies, but I would love to go to a bridal shower that gave away puppies as a favor.
Yeah.
That was the best part.
Phil?
This movie has a 100% rating. On Rotten Tomatoes.
Oh, my God.
100%. Wow.
People love this movie. When it came out, it was groundbreaking. I get that. Toy Story.
What?
Wow. What pitch was that?
The main character of the movie, Woody, is an asshole the entire movie. He's
what?
A little jealous prick.
That's his nickname.
And he never, at any point in the movie, has any kind of comeuppance. He tries to sabotage Buzz the entire movie. Just to be the popular toy and learns no lesson. There is no message at the end of the movie for kids. Don't behave like this because this is what can happen. It's just, we're going to fly into the car and become friends forever. It is a terrible message.
No, you are wrong.
He is an awful character who behaves poorly the whole movie.
There is a song at the end of the movie called You've Got a Friend in Me. They put aside their differences. They help each other survive Sid's
house. It does
house.
Not Buzz, match what Buzz, happens.
Buzz, I disagree with Phil.
I have a friend named Buzz.
I think it should be popular. However, I'm going to back him up with Buzz always is on Woody's side.
He does nothing wrong.
Yeah.
He's loyal.
Always.
He even forgives him.
True blue.
He's new and weird and unfamiliar, so we have to be cautious.
Being judgmental.
I don't even understand what you just said.
No one does.
Mm.
But it's the strangest way to have a lead character behave and then at the end of the movie be like, what a charming movie for children.
It is a wonderful movie.
Odd.
It is the foundation of another three movies. There's four Toy Story movies.
So that doesn't mean anything. There's like a million
really
Fast and Furious movies.
Right.
That doesn't mean they should be popular.
There's four mistakes.
It had
there.
To be good enough to be a solid foundation to build that Toy Story house.
No, I disagree with Phil.
It is born into it.
It shouldn't be popular. I think it should be popular. I remember seeing it for the first time, and young Chaz was of that age. Like, well, let's sit down on the couch and as a family watch it.
Impressionable, yeah.
And it was something I had never seen. And the animation was mind-blowing at the time. And then the toys from my past that were still relevant today were in it, and they had lines for adults, and I thought, ooh, this is interesting. A movie that has adult innuendos in it.
Yeah.
Haven't seen that.
Bugs Bunny.
Pixar's been great at that forever.
Yeah.
That is the first instance of it. That's not even part of why the movie's not great. If you're going to have a lead character,
they made toys.
Like, oh, my God, this is the Woody and Buzz, they're best friends. When? At no point in that movie are they best friends.
I'm with Phil.
They have a literal fist fight under a car.
Woody wasn't
a-hole.
He
tries to trick all of the other toys into thinking he's a villain for more than half the movie.
He's a new guy at the office.
For no other reason than he's jealous.
Yep.
What'd you say?
He's a new guy at the office. You know, that one that comes in and undermines the friendship.
Wait, are you agreeing? Do you even know what you're arguing right
yes,
now?
Yes, I'm agreeing with Phil. Woody's an a-hole.
What? Who's the new guy at the office?
I'm not one in particular. I'm just saying that one person.
Who's the new guy in the office in that movie?
There's no movie. I mean, there's no I'm talking. Woody is a new guy at the office.
Wrong. Buzz.
Wrong.
You know what? Screw you.
Screw you. You're going to get an opinion on something you know nothing about.
Just because.
Nothing.
Okay, it was called a friggin' joke, okay, you hyena?
Jokes are supposed to be funny. Hyenas are in line.
Don't you have a tree to chew? Don't you have a dance to
make? I like that you were jumping on the bandwagon just to annoy her. Yeah. You didn't even know what you were saying.
No, I did. There's that one person. There's always that one person. You know what? Screw this.
Yeah.
There's no need. There's no need. Life's too short.
Just give up.
I'm going to go do a burnout in my car later.
Buzz was the new guy.
I know he was a new guy, but I'm saying, but this is how... Woody, even though he's not the new guy, but there's that one person that comes and infiltrates stuff. You know, like they see someone that, you know, and then they just, you know what? The hell with this. The hell with this. I'm going back on my Ten Commandments sucked.
We did that already.
I'm going with that one, okay?
I'm going with that one.
Phil, I'm sorry. I tried to back you up for once in my life. But everybody can't take a freaking joke. They got to freaking analyze every goddamn thing I say.
Has to make sense.
It made perfect sense.
It
Someone out there left.
You know what, AJ?
You know what? Shut up.
You did try to back me up.
I'm going to write a second song about you.
I just said you did try to back me up, and I'm the worst because you were sitting there floundering, and I did nothing.
Thank you.
Sat here and watched.
You know what? You were doing a Woody on it.
Woody's not the only a-hole in this room.
Woody's not in this room.
I'm going to go home.
Unless you have something you'd like to share.
I
want to
go home now.
No, don't.
No, I got to go home to a burnout.
All right.
Way down the
Toy Street. Story is a great movie.
Cross this parking lot.
You've got a friend
I can write
in
the word a-hole.
Let me go through some of these other movies that made the list that gave us the reason to do our list.
Okay.
Yes.
Avatar.
Oh, that's a good one.
No. Blah.
Never saw it, and I didn't get it. It
wasn't
for
me.
I can't say it shouldn't be popular, but...
It's a cartoon.
And the reason they list is stunning visuals, but not much else. Joe?
Yeah, and you really had to have seen that in 3D. I tried watching that on television, you know, flat, and it just isn't the same. It really was designed to be seen in 3D.
And the name's annoying, too. Avatar. Who cares?
Do you know what that means?
It sounds like something you buy like a camera store. I need an avatar.
Do you know what avatar means?
I have no idea.
Okay.
They never stopped before, did it? I have no idea.
I feel like I just have to click.
I have no idea. No, it wasn't a flubble. Realize what a flubble is, okay?
I just... But
that dam's not going to build itself. Get out there.
I'm a hyena or a beaver. Make up your mind.
You're both. You're high beaver.
You are in rare form right now.
Oh, rage, really? Okay.
That's true. That's true. You're that's just no angry, and you're always angry.
No few people.
Okay.
Okay. Chaz and AJ. People. Hello?
Waterworld.
Waterworld. Joe, what do you think?
Well, was that ever really popular?
No, I think it was a big stinker.
It was a bomb.
Yeah.
It was pretty much a big legendary flop at the time.
Yeah, huge budget and didn't bring the money in. That's a fumble. Got it? There you go.
Yep, got it.
Just to prove to you. Oh, it's going to leave so bad.
He's so mad he's not looking
We're
at me.
Stuck here.
He's looking out the window.
Freaking me, 11 o'clock and everything, God damn it.
He's actually
I'm stuck here.
Looking
I came and
the
go
other
outside
way.
And smoke a fatty. Hi, Joe. How you doing? Good?
He's so glad he stuck around.
Okay. Pulse rate not normal.
I got to try to pull this into somehow.
Go
got to sound like a
go
show.
Back, go back to list. I'll shut up.
All right.
Shut up.
Sorry, Joe.
No problem.
Okay. Right. 10 movies that don't deserve their popularity. Avatar is number one. Inception's number two.
Ooh.
Yeah, I wasn't crazy about that. It was I didn't quite get that movie, to tell you the truth.
Yeah, I saw it. I liked it because it was something different.
I think that's why I think because I didn't get it. They didn't feel like they had to answer every question. I like that.
You're right, Phil. You're right, Phil. And it had spectacular visual effects for sure.
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
It was Conception, totally different movie.
The Dark Knight Rises.
Oh, that was a good one, too.
Ooh, put those two together.
There's a whole weird scene in the middle where he's like in a pit and like people are like, we're just going to fix your back without any kind of medical whatever. Like, that was weird.
Was he a souffle?
The rest was fine.
Oh, man, if they're going to put any Batman movie up there, that would not be the one. Mm-hmm. I mean, pick one with George Clooney or
right.
Ben Affleck. Sure.
Or this recent one with what's his Twilight Face?
Twilight Face.
No, that was good.
Robert Pattinson. Love that one.
I
loved
think that
it.
Was good. This movie we just talked about, The Blind Side.
Oh, yeah. Sandra Bullock.
That's
yeah.
a good one.
It's got weird tone issues.
Weird tone issues?
Yeah, it doesn't know if it wants to be a serious, like, conversation about race or if it wants to, like, let Sandra Bullock be, like, a tough white woman in, like, a comedic yeah. setting on a football field. Like, it tries to do yeah. both, and it's weird.
You forgot tight dress and heels.
Who saw the movie? I haven't seen it.
I haven't seen it entirely.
I saw it.
No.
Yeah. Yeah.
Once through, it's fine, but like it gets like this acclaim is like, oh, what a landmark movie! What a tremendous story! I'm like, really?
Yeah,
I think.
And a lot of critics called it a white savior movie. You know what I mean, where she's like the savior of this black guy, and a lot of black people resented that.
But it's a true story.
It is a true story.
Wow.
The same thing happened to Green.
Started out as one
Green Book. Yeah,
Shakespeare in Love.
Yeah.
That was fun.
Just the title alone, I wouldn't go see it.
Gwyneth Paltrow and yeah. Shakespeare.
Well, this died out.
Boy, yeah. Can you add anything else I don't like?
Yeah, at least speak Elizabethan language. Vine and this and that. Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, yeah, extravagant dress and,
right. yeah.
and the harpsichord. I hate
a
it.
Lot of theater speak.
Yeah.
Every song.
La La Land is six. I'm sorry, Joe, go ahead.
Shakespeare people were upset because that was the year that beat Saving Private Ryan, you know, which was kind of a ridiculous upset.
Unreal. Unreal.
Yeah.
Unreal.
Yeah.
La La Land is number six. V for Vendetta, number seven.
Mm, I like that one, too.
Didn't see that.
Yeah, I don't remember that. I saw it. I don't remember much about it. It was Natalie Portman, I think. Yeah.
See, to me, a title's got to grab you, and if the title's going to grab me, I don't go see it.
Yeah,
I'm like, I don't know what a vendetta is, you know, so screw it.
Avatar? I don't know.
Exactly. It's only something you bought from a camera store.
The King's Speech is number eight.
Does he flubble?
A lot, actually.
That's cool. Okay. I should have gone to see that.
Yeah, I didn't think that that was a blockbuster. I guess it won some awards. I thought it won
the Best Picture. It won Best
Picture.
Wow.
And people
they were upset because that beat The Social Network. A lot of people believe Social Network should have won Best Picture that year.
Really?
That movie's still great.
Is that the movie with the
Social Network? I love it. I love that one.
I love it too, Phil. Yeah, I love that
I have not seen it because I just think that... I hate that guy.
You still will hate him at the end.
Cool.
There's really no redeeming character in the movie, it's interesting that like seven people on the planet were able to see this thing for what it was. And they all were fighting for who had the most influence on it. I loved it. I thought it was great.
Hmm.
I did too.
Rebel Without a Cause.
Wow, that's an oldie.
Never saw it.
Never saw that either. But, you know, we know James Dean was in it, and it was, his breakout role.
Absolutely.
He died like right afterwards.
It's a cult film.
Yeah. And the Blair Witch Project rounds out the top 10.
I liked it at the time. You know, I haven't seen it lately, but it was the first found footage horror movie, you know, where you're just looking at old films they found of these kids that got lost in the woods. I thought it was interesting when it came out.
Yeah, it's not a movie you have to see twice.
Yeah. One and done.
No.
One and done.
No.
It's just kind of nothing happens the whole movie.
It's that camera thing, right?
You keep
shaky camera.
You keep expecting
the girl
like
the snot right there, and I was like, "Oh my god,
something will happen," and nothing ever really happens.
Yeah. Sort of commercial. That's good.
Yeah, they leave it all up to you.
All right, Joe. Thanks for coming on. Thanks for sitting through that fight. Actually, two.
Thanks for having me on, guys.
Oh yeah. NFL free agent quarterback Cam Newton getting some pushback for comments he made about women in a podcast interview. Things started fine with Newton talking about his upbringing. And then Newton continued talking about how women should know when to be quiet.
A woman for me is handling your own, but knowing how to cater to a man's needs, right? And I think a lot of times when you get that aesthetic of like, I'm a boss, like I'm a this, I'm a that. No, baby. Like, but you can't cook. You don't know when to be quiet. You don't know how to allow a man to lead.
I hate him.
Let's hear him out.
You're a jerk.
I think everyone's allowed to feel the way they want to feel. But man, to say that on a podcast.
Yeah.
That's going to be tough luck for him.
Maybe just tell your friends.
When Cam Newton needs to know when to be quiet. All of the time.
Like you, for example.
I'm trying to get his point. Like, what's he trying to say? Did he misspeak?
No.
Maybe he did.
I think he's expressing what he likes in a woman, which is somebody who's obviously silent and in the kitchen. So, someone from 1950.
That's bad, right? Okay, just checking.
Yeah, that is like 1955-ish.
Yes.
So the person was never silent and never in the kitchen.
Exactly my point.
Poor Eric's out there like trying to like to get squirrels and stuff for food, living in the shed.
All right.
Yeah, I don't know what his point was there.
I don't think he had a point, really.
No.
That's why he's in Dumbass News.
Well, you know, you get hit a lot in football. These things happen.
You know, is it possible that maybe he's been married and he's had some occurrences where, and I'm not agreeing with what he's saying here. I'm just saying maybe he's basing it on a few occurrences where he said to himself, do you really need to bust my ass about this?
Right. Or like something happened.
I'll give you an example.
Okay. Please give an example, please.
Saturday night, we're having people over. Okay?
Okay.
Okay?
Okay. People.
Okay.
People.
What kind of people?
Do you remember at Jennifer's birthday party, there were those little tiny lanterns on the table?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Everybody was shoving them in their nose.
Yeah. And their shirt.
They're made of metal.
Oh, those.
With glass. What the hell are you talking about?
The little ones.
The little fairy tea lights.
They're front of little tiny battery-powered lights folks are putting in their nose.
Yeah, it looks like lightning bugs.
Oh, not those.
Right, no.
Okay.
She swallowed one, by the way.
The little tiny metal... What time did I lose control of the show?
No, we're listening to Little Tiny Lanterns.
Yeah. I think it was 8:51 a.m.
Please continue.
I believe you're correct.
Please continue. I want to hear the rest of this.
Those little, you know, it really doesn't matter anymore.
No, no, come on.
I know how I felt earlier.
I need to know.
Yeah, no, I can just know.
All right. Do you remember the little metal lanterns that were on the table?
Yes, I do.
Do you, Ashley?
No.
She drank Fireball. I remember them. Please continue.
That's okay. That's all right.
I really want to know now.
Florida babysitter arrested for putting kid in dryer.
I know what kid got put in a dryer in this room. And with no towels in there.
A 35-year-old Orlando area woman, Amber Chapman, has been arrested after authorities say she put a child she was caring for in a dryer.
Oh, the dryer ride. I love that.
And spun him around inside. The 4-year-old boy was brought to the hospital.
A little dizzy.
When he reportedly stated that Miss Amber put him in the dryer with towels, spun around. Boy had several bruises to his face, back, and ears.
And a sock stuck to him.
Here's Fred Jones of the Lake County Sheriff's Office.
The child explained to the mother that he was in a lot of pain. And that's when the mother questioned, well, how did all of this happen? And that's when he explained that the babysitter had put him in the dryer.
You guys never did the dryer ride?
I guarantee that he asked to go in the dryer.
Oh, you know he did.
Or consented to it.
And she probably put the towels in there to, you know, impede him getting hurt. She's just doing, you know, trying to shut the kid up.
Hmm.
You know, all right, if you go for the dryer ride, you shut up, will you take your nap? Fine, get in there. You
know? Oh, I see. She made a deal.
Exactly, right.
It didn't sound like she closed the door and turned it on.
And
it just sounded like she spun it around while he was in there.
Yeah, I don't know if you can do that.
I don't know. You got to close the door.
You got to close, make a tumble.
Or you got to press the button.
No, with your hand, you can grab.
Hold the
Yeah, with
thing.
A kid, though?
And spin it.
Wait, is she the Hulk?
I don't think she would turn on the heat and close the door. And I think if she did, that's what they would have said. They would have been more specific.
The kid's hair was all
puffed
out.
He had several bruises to his face, back, and ears. I don't think she just spun that around.
Right.
Try it.
I'll tumble for you. Get in there.
Well, either way, we know where she will not be babysitting again.
No.
Mm-hmm. We had a babysitter come over. She would stand at the bottom of our stairs. Like, we had like a little split-level staircase. And we would run and jump, and she would catch us. That was the game.
Wow. That's trust.
She did that at every house because I don't want it chunky.
She ever drop anyone?
Yes.
Nice.
Yep.
I'm guessing you.
Phil?
Not me. No.
That explains a lot.
No, my sister and I were like...
My head stuck between the railings.
Fighting, like elbowing each other over like who was going to run next. And she was like, hold on, let me just turn off the TV. Walked away to turn off the TV, and my sister just took off and jumped.
Phil, you
and there was nobody there.
Phil, you were 25. Shouldn't even had a sitter.
Oh, we had all the dangerous toys. We had the trampoline.
Did she hit the wall or did she land on the...
No, she hit the floor.
The landing.
Oh.
She hit the floor. She was unconscious.
Nice.
Oh,
an ambulance came. It was a very scary day.
Right.
She's fine.
Did you
but
see
it was
birds?
A terrifying moment.
Wow.
Yeah.
She ever get the babysit again?
All the time.
Oh, yeah.
We loved her.
The parents were like, okay, next time I'm going to pin a bullseye mark right over here.
Okay.
That
okay.
game stopped, so instead she would bring her moped over and we would go for rides around the backyard with her.
That's better.
Yeah.
It was.
We're going to play like the cherry bomb
in
your mouth.
That's what we did.
Yeah.
I wonder where she is today.
Explains a lot.
She is the best.
Didn't you scare off a babysitter, Ashley?
Every single one, I think.
Yeah, she freaked out and called her parents at the restaurant.
Her parents couldn't go out to a nice date night without her, you know, Ashley screaming for them to come home.
That's why they developed a chokehold.
I don't remember that. That's what my mother claims.
Your mom sounds like she knows exactly what you're saying.
I know he broke a lamp once. I don't know what we were throwing, but...
A fit?
Yeah, but your parents came back.
I guess so. I honestly don't
remember any of that?
No, I don't.
Oh, I do. Your mom was like, they'd sit down and look at each other across the table at dinner and be like, well, we got 10 more minutes.
Right. 3, 2, 1, now!
It was just the girl across the street. She's fine.
Yeah. You gotta just let the kid cry through it.
You do. Put them in the garage over there.
Put them in the dryer.
Put them in the dryer.
This was the Chaz and AJ podcast. Thanks for getting through the whole damn thing. Subscribe now and please rate and review us. Unless you have terrible things to say, then please don't. Also, share this podcast with friends. Chaz and AJ in the Morning happens weekdays from 5:30 a.m. to 10 a.m. out of New Haven, Connecticut on the mighty 99.1 PLR.